This is the LZR Project, an episodic story series by David N. Alderman. The LZR Project takes place within David's Expired Reality universe and serves as a prequel to the main novels in his Expired Reality series. You can find out more about David's Expired Reality series at davidnalderman.com. Episode number 5. The date is Friday, April 9th, 1998. Darkness blocked her senses of sight, sound, and smell. It did not, however, block her sense of pain. Something warm and wet pressed against her head. Her skull felt as if someone were playing drums upon her brainstem. Voices began to penetrate the thick wall of gloom, voices Carrie Green did not recognize. "She's coming out of it. Get her on the respirator, now. The bleeding has stopped. Give me the gauze." She forced the thought into her mind, "Open my eyes." But her mind wouldn't listen. The darkness was too strong and seemed to have all her motor skills locked in its grasp. She fought against it, pushing with all her might for her eyes to open, for her body to respond to her cries for control. Light flooded her vision, and she allowed it. Faces came into view. Blue faces. Faces covered in masks and bodies covered in scrubs. She knew something was wrong. She knew she was in a hospital. Something had happened, but memory would not allow her recollection. "She's awake," the doctor at the end of her bed said. "Put her under again. We're not done yet." Doctors hustled around her. The darkness returned and she left the room, left the doctors, and fell back into the abyss. When she awoke hours later, Carrie found herself in a hospital room. David Corbin, startled by her movement, jolted from the chair near her bed and took her hand in his. "You're awake."
"Yeah."
Carrie coughed and struggled to collect herself. "Yeah. David, you sure are a sight for sore eyes," she thought as she sat up. IVs came out from her arms and ran to sacks of translucent fluid that hung at the head of the bed. She felt a thick bandage on the side of her head, which seemed to be the source of her migraine. "What happened?" "You don't remember?" "What? I don't... Wait. I remember. Mr. Big. We were chasing Mr. Big." "Yeah." David rubbed the stubble around his chin, his eyes revealing his concern. "Mr. Big. He knocked you off the roof of the Glitter Cafe. Veronica tried to grab your hand, but she couldn't catch you in time. You fell in a dumpster." "My head," she whispered as she gingerly touched the damp gauze. "Mr. Big hit you with a lead pipe, almost shattered your skull. That's what knocked you off the roof." Carrie's heart raced. "Are you kidding me?" David shook his head. By the time medical help arrived, Mr. Big was long gone. Veronica tried to chase him down, but she lost him. Carrie glanced up at the television. An episode of Peter's Alibi was playing. Jefferson Jones had an armful of roses and was attempting to woo Jenny Rogers, as happened in almost every episode. David squeezed her hand. She turned and watched his green eyes fill with worry. In a low growl, he said, "Mr. Big is going to pay for what he did to you." She squeezed his hand, returning his gesture. "I'm alive, David. That's all that matters, right?" He stood to his feet, breaking free of her grip in the process. He paced between the door and her bed, scratching the stubble on his chin, mumbling incoherent things to himself. "David, sit down, please." He stopped pacing and took a deep breath. "I can't do this anymore. There's too much at stake, too many moving pieces." "Are you referring to Mr. Big's organization or something else?" "Everything," he answered, taking a seat. Next to the chair he had been sitting in sat an open laptop on a small end table. "What are you doing on that? Playing games? I wouldn't mind playing a game with you." She knew her attempt to distract him with something other than vengeance was a feeble effort, but it was the only thing she could think to do. David took the laptop and set it on his lap. "This is just some research I'm doing on the symbols in Scarlet's room at the facility." "Scarlet, huh?" David shrugged. "I have to figure out what these symbols mean." "No, you don't. You want to." He nodded. "I do. And I won't be able to live with myself unless I figure out what's going on over there at the Institute. I left her there, Carrie. She was beaten and broken and... it was awful. I have to find out what's going on over there and stop it before that happens to more people. I have to find a way to get her out of there and get her the help she needs." Carrie let the topic stop where it was. She didn't trust Scarlet, especially not after her attempt to kill David in the past. But Carrie didn't have the strength to argue with David. And by the look in his eyes, the determined, fiery look she now saw when he spoke of Scarlet and the Institute, she knew arguing with him would do absolutely no good. He was determined, and when he was determined, there was no changing his course. It was something she loved about him most of the time, but not right now. David shut the laptop and set it on the end table by the chair. Right now, I'm here for you, Carrie. Forget about Scarlett, forget about Mr. Big. Is there anything I can get you, anything I can do for you? No, I'm good. He grabbed her hand again. His grip was strong and warm, and it was quickly making her fall in love with him even more. She shuffled her feet under the thin covers and did her best to ignore the pain in her head. I don't trust Scarlett. The words left her mouth without her doing anything to stop them. David leaned back in the chair, but continued to grip her hand. I figured as much. Nobody does. It's okay, though. I'll prove she's innocent. She pulled her hand out of his. Why do you care? Because she is innocent. That's why I care. I don't care that we used to date. I do. Why? Carrie simply crossed her arms and turned away from him. Carrie, if someone is innocent, they are innocent. I can't look away from that. You should have seen her. Her face was mutilated. They beat her once she got back to the Institute. They had her restrained to a chair with barbed wire. I can't ignore that. Carrie took a deep breath and looked him in the eyes. I didn't know it was that bad. He glared at her, straight-faced. I know you don't like her. You don't have to. I'm not saying I like her. I'm saying if there's something going on in that place, I have to check it out. I have to save her and the rest of the people in there. She nodded. Okay, I understand. And she did understand. She realized she was acting like a child, and she hated herself for it. David took his laptop, stood to his feet, and then leaned over the bed, kissing Carrie on the forehead. His cool lips on her warm skin sent shivers down her spine. I have to go, he said. I wanted to stay until I knew you were okay. I have to follow a lead on these symbols. A guy I know might be able to decipher them. Squirrel? She asked. He nodded. The best hacker there is. I sent him the photos I took of Scarlett's room, and Squirrel thinks he might know what some of the symbols mean. Be careful, and please don't go back there alone. I have a bad feeling about that place. I know. He left the room, leaving her in stillness. Carrie closed her eyes, leaned back into her pillows, and took in the silence. Now that she was in control of the darkness behind her eyelids, she felt at peace. She would have liked David to stay longer, but she didn't want to seem too obvious or stall him from saving people's lives. She couldn't live with herself if she did that. Instead, she took the peace and quiet and soaked it in. She figured it would only be a matter of time before Veronica and Sean tried to visit the hospital. Carrie Green, you're awake! Carrie opened her eyes to her mother, Ruth Green. The woman wore her typical dark gray pantsuit, and she had her blonde hair bundled on top of her head like a messy gift bow. Mom? You let David see you before me? Are you kidding me? I've been asleep in that damn waiting room waiting for you to wake. I told the doctors to tell me first when you opened your eyes. And David sees you and walks out of the hospital without even saying anything to me? Carrie sat up, took a deep breath, and wished with all of her might that David would come back and rescue her from her own mother. I just woke up, Mom. David just happened to be by my bedside when I did. Her mother crossed her arms over her chest and then slammed her foot on the ground, the clack of her heel sounding like a gong ushering tragic things to come. You're done. What does that mean? Carrie asked. You're done. No more David. No more ZRL project or whatever you call it. You're done. This ends now. You can't tell, while you're under my roof, you will abide by my rules. Do you understand? No, I don't. The LZR project is my decision. Her mother's face scrunched into a horrid grimace. The sharp lines in her face looked like a geometry student's attempt at explaining parallelograms. You were almost killed tonight because of this Mr. Big you and your friends keep chasing after. Let the police handle him. That's what my taxes pay for, you know. I don't need my only daughter going into the line of fire because the police in the city are too lazy to do it themselves. Carrie shifted her weight enough to sit up taller. Her mother made her feel so small all the time. She didn't want to feel smaller in a hospital bed. It's because the police can't catch Mr. Big that we started the LZR project, she said. And I told you in the beginning that if I started the LZR project, I wasn't going to stop. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing now. I'll kick you out of my house so fast. You won't, Mother, Carrie whispered calmly. She didn't tell her mother that they both needed each other equally, both for moral and relational support. She didn't tell her mother of her infatuation with David, even though her mother already assumed. She didn't say anything more to her mother. If her mother attempted anything, she knew her father would stand up to her. It might be the only thing that would cause her father to stand up to her mother. There would be benefit in the heartache. Carrie's mother flashed a confident grin and thrust her finger in the air. I'll put your stuff on the lawn. Carrie refused to speak. I'll make sure you never see David again. Still nothing. Carrie's mother slammed her heel against the tile floor again, as if the action dispersed her rage into the building itself. You are heading for a day when you aren't going to be able to hide behind your friends. Carrie crossed her arms, her gaze never breaking contact with her mother's. You may think that boy David is the love of your life, the man of your dreams, but I've seen too many boys of his kind. Rebels. They refuse to submit to authority and instead make themselves authority, enacting anarchy. He's a good-for-nothing who will take you down with him if you allow him to. David Corbin is not a boy, he's a man. Her mother glared at her, her eyes narrow and focused on dispelling Carrie's stubborn resolve. That's all you have to say about him? Carrie shrugged. I have nothing to prove to you, mother. I'm of the age that I can do what I feel is right to do. The LZR project is temporary. It's what I am meant to do, and it will bring so much good to this city. You'll see. You'll see, mother. The day Big is put away, you'll see. You're so fixated on David, on what you think I think of him, that you're blind to the good that David is doing. Blind to the good I am doing. Blind to the good that all of us are doing. Your good is going to get you killed. Carrie couldn't help but involuntarily shrug at the comment. If I die, I die doing what I know is right. Her mother's face flushed red, but she spit no more venom. Instead, she turned on her heels and stormed out of the room. Carrie felt bad for anyone who crossed into the path of that hurricane, knowing they wouldn't be able to survive the wrath her mother was intent on pouring out. I hope you left the building already, David, she told herself. You may be Anaisha's greatest hero, but even you can't withstand the force of my mother. Thank you for listening to the LZR Project. If you are interested in reading more of David's Expired Reality series, please check out the author's webpage at davidnalderman.com.